The 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. When he had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he had heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he built the synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterwards, he journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The disciples of John told him about all these things. John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?'" At that time, he cured many of their diseases, sufferings, and evil spirits. He also granted sight to many who were blind, and he said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." When the messengers of John had left, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine garments? Those who dress luxuriously and live sumptuously are found in royal palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom Scripture says, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. Yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people who listened, including the tax collectors, and all who were baptized with the baptism of John, acknowledged the righteousness of God. But the Pharisees and the scholars of the law, who were not baptized by him, rejected the plan of God for themselves. To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, "We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." A Pharisee invited him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at the table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of anointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor, who one owed 500 days' wages, and the other 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Please be seated. Faith requires a lot of humility. It requires the acceptance that we don't understand everything. And, in fact, that there are things that we cannot ever understand by our human reason alone. In the humility of faith, we acknowledge that we need God's help to come to God, that we need his supernatural light in order to see things as they truly are. St. John Henry Newman described the humbling obscurity of faith in his poem, "The Pillar of the Cloud," better known as the hymn, "Lead, Kindly Light." "Lead thou me on," he writes. "The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me." Here, especially at the end, St. John Henry Newman describes how the humility of faith will eventually lead us to the glory of understanding. Certainly not right away. The shadows of misunderstanding and obscurity still swirl around us. We will become lost if we rush ahead or hold back, trusting only in ourselves. But if we live by the habit of faith in God and walk by the light that he provides, we will one day arrive in the kingdom of light, where faith gives way to true sight. Though faith requires humility, it isn't weakness or a constraint upon our reason. It is strength. It is a storming of heaven with the help of God's grace. Even in this life, faith enables us to approach a vision of God. It is a cannon which hurls man beyond the limitations of his created nature and into the infinite world of the divine. St. Thomas tells us that by accepting faith and living the gift of faith, eternal life begins in us now, through our ascent to the unseen divine truths. By faith, we receive here and now a dim vision of supreme truth, the vision of which will make up the essence of our eternal life. St. Paul corroborates this, writing, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully." Eternal life, life with God, here on earth, offered by the work of grace and accepted through our humility. The Pharisees were unable to exchange their pride for the humility of faith. Because of this rejection, they could not see Christ for who he was. When he was questioned about his identity, Christ told the disciples of John to examine the things that they had seen, the miracles that he had worked. But in spite of their superior natural understanding and the evidence of those miracles, the Pharisees couldn't put the pieces together. Without faith, we are cut off from understanding Christ and his works. The centurion and the repentant woman, however, readily acknowledged their unworthiness and their complete dependence on God. Their humility allowed them to recognize Jesus as the one who could free them from their problems. They did not need to understand the theological niceties of Christ's incarnation or the economy of their salvation through his passion. Instead, they bowed in faith to the mysterious nature of God's work and handed themselves over to his power. For this, Christ praises their faith and grants their prayers. We too have been given this gift of faith by God's grace, but we must accept this gift with humility. The centurion and the repentant woman humbled themselves by their words and deeds and thus displayed their faith in Christ. Tonight, we too have come to Christ at the table. He reclines before us in a more mysterious form than he did in the Pharisee's house in Capernaum. How will you approach him? Will you keep him at arm's length, holding back from what your natural reason cannot comprehend? Or will you draw near to him in the humility of faith and acknowledge your dependence on his grace for understanding? Come to him and confess your unworthiness. Confess your sins to him and wash them away with the tears of faith and repentance. Anoint his feet with the anointment of your adoration and your love. And by this, may we too hear those sweet words. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.